Church, great to see you today. And we are aiming to have a shortened service today, but I am preaching, so we'll see. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do pray and ask that you will help us to understand these few short verses and to respond to your word with glad and full hearts. Please help me to speak the truth and give us all attentive minds, and we pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, I wonder, as you make decisions, where you get your help from as you work through the issues of your decisions. Some people, for example, get their help from their parents. They get their advice either directly from their parents or just remembering their parents' examples. There might be significant other people in your life that you lean on for your decisions. It might be your conscience that is your guide. It might be society and its values. You know, we tend to say sometimes to ourselves, well, everybody else does this, therefore that should be what I do as well. Or we may just simply go with what seems good to me. Some people say, follow your own heart. Do what is your own conviction. So there are all sorts of areas we get our help from. Today I want us to think again about what guides us in our lives, and especially as people who trust in and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last week we saw in Colossians chapter 2 that we have come to fullness in Christ. That is, in coming to Christ, we have everything we need for life and eternity. We don't need anything more. And in fact, Paul was urging his Colossian friends, therefore, to guard that truth. There are people coming in who are suggesting, no, you need to add this and you need to add that and you need to do these things to be a true Christian person. And Paul is saying, no, all you need is Christ Jesus. You are complete in Christ. Well, he also commands them, really, to stand fast in the Lord Jesus. Hold fast to him. Don't let him go. But if a person has come to put their trust in Jesus, does that mean that things simply stop there? That I'm now in Christ, that's all I need to worry about, I don't need to do any more. Well, Paul's answer is no. Yes, you are complete and sufficient in Christ, but God has plans for your future, a direction in which your life is to go. And today and next week we're going to look at the why and the how of that future and that change. Today we're going to focus more on the why. For you see, in these few short verses, Colossians 3, 1-4, Paul presents some great realities that form a framework for our lives. He looks at the past, the present, and the future for the person whose trust is in Jesus Christ. What is the past? Well, he said, says in verse 3, you died. In the past, if you put your trust in Jesus Christ as Lord, you have died. You have died with Christ to the world. So that's one of the things that's happened in the past. You have died. But not only have you died, he says, you have been raised. He says that in verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ. He has a lot to say about this idea of being raised with Christ in his letter, both in chapter 1 and in chapter 2. The idea, you see down in chapter 2 verse 13, is that we were dead in our sins. Sin had so captured us that our hearts were dead to God. They were still pumping away and we were still living and acting, but we had no real relationship with God and no interest in a relationship with God. We were dead in our sins. But now as we've come to Christ, we have been made alive with Christ. We now have a relationship with Jesus. We have new life to God. And that is something that's happened in the past. If you're a Christian, that's something that has already occurred. You have died and you have been raised. Now, Paul also speaks in these verses about the present. He says, your life is hidden with Christ. That's what's happening right now. If you're a Christian, your life is hidden with Christ. Look at verse 3. For you died, there's that past, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's a strange idea, isn't it? That your life is hidden with Christ. Does that mean your life is in his back pocket or his front pocket? What does it mean to say your life is hidden with Christ? Well, I take it what he means is really what he says in verse 4. He says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, that is, Christ Jesus is the one who gives you life and who holds your life. And so as Christ Jesus is hidden from view at this point, being in the presence of the Father, so your life is hidden with Christ there in the presence of the Father. And that's the reality that is controlling your present. So in the past you died and were raised. At the moment your life is hidden with Christ. And thirdly, the future, at the end of verse 4 there, is that when Christ appears, and he will appear with great glory, when Christ appears, we will appear with him in his glory. That's what the future holds for you as someone who trusts Christ. Friends, what a day that will be. What a great day that will be when the Lord Jesus comes in glory. What a shock it's going to be for so many people in the world. But we are eagerly waiting for him to come. And when he comes, we will be transformed. We will share his glory in that moment. That is what our future holds. We've died and been raised in the past. Our life is hidden with Christ right now, and we're looking forward to the day when Christ appears and we will appear with him in glory. Now, if all this is so, what then, as someone whose life is hidden with Christ, what then what are we to do as a result? Well, Paul says we are to set our minds on things above. That's the big message of these verses. We are to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. Look with me at verse 2. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. That's exactly what he says. What does that mean? To set your minds on things above. Does that mean we've got to think about angels and streets of gold and beautiful colours and lovely meadows and things like that? That's what we've got to think about all the time? Well, no, I don't think that is what he means. I think what he means is that we're to set our mind on the values and the ways of Christ Jesus in heaven. If you just flick down to chapter 3, verse 10, he says, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. That is, as a person comes to Christ, a work begins in their life so that they are being renewed day by day. And what they are being renewed in is becoming more and more like the person God originally intended us to be, exactly like Christ Jesus. So to set our minds on things above is to set our minds on the values and the ways and the character of Christ in heaven. What are the earthly things? They are the values and the priorities and the ways of this world, which are vastly different to the values of heaven. And Paul says we are to set our mind not on earthly things, but on the things of Christ and of heaven and of God. Now, there might be some questions that come into your mind as a result of that. For example, why this focus on the mind? Why are we to set our minds on things above? Well, quite simply because our minds and our thinking shapes the way we live. Now, you know that, don't you? When you came to put your trust in the Lord Jesus, you know everything changed about your life. It was amazing how your life began to change. In little ways, perhaps sometimes in big ways, and it was because your mind had changed. You now had a different view of Christ, which then changed what you did. As the old saying goes, as a man thinks, so he is. Another question might be, well, does this mean, does Paul talking about the fact that we've got to be constantly thinking about heaven? You know, the old accusation about Christians that they're so heavenly minded that they are of no earthly use. Well, no, that's not what Paul means here. He's not talking about that. That's actually a misunderstanding. He's not talking about us daydreaming all the time about heaven. That's not what he's talking about at all. No, he wants us, and we know this from the verses that follow, that we are to be fully engaged with life here. If you're a plumber, you're an able plumber. If you're a voter, which we're all going to be, then we're thoughtful voters, we're wise mothers, we're savvy decision makers. We're fully engaged with the world and with life here. It's just that we go about life and with the values and the priorities of heaven. That's what he means. And so if you're a plumber, you'll be an honest and reliable plumber who declares your GST and doesn't take cash so as to avoid it. You'll be a selfless voter thinking of others, not simply yourself. You'll be a mother who strives to make peace amongst your children, which is a bit of a challenge sometimes. You'll be a godly and generous decision maker. All of this because your mind is set on the values and priorities of heaven as you go about your daily life. Now, a third question might be, look, talking to me, I'm no intellectual. You know, all this talk of the mind and so on. I'm a practical person, not an intellectual kind of academic person. Well, a couple of things I want to say if you feel that. Firstly, you have a mind. So use it. Right? You have a mind, so use it. And your mind is already shaping your life. Use it to shape your life with the values and priorities of heaven. That's the first thing. Secondly, Paul is not talking about becoming an academic here. And as we see in the verses that follow, having your mind set on heaven is completely practical. Go down to verse 5. Look how practical it is. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality and impurity and lust and evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. He goes on a little bit later to talk about anger and rage and malice and not lying to one another. Friends, they're incredibly practical, real-life, everyday things. They're the things we are to be doing as we set our minds, sorry, not doing, as we set our minds on the things of heaven. And so the challenge today is, will you take steps to set your mind on things above, where Christ is? Will you? Will you forsake the values and priorities and ways of this world? And I'm guessing you probably know in your own heart the areas of your life that are very much set in this world and not in heaven. Will you forsake those things so as to embrace the values of the kingdom of Christ? Will you do it, as Jesus said, with all your heart and soul and mind and strength? Will you, as he said in another place, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow him in your relationships, with your possessions, with your time, with your money, with your energy? Now, how can we grow in this way of life? I want to suggest that it is only through the study of the scriptures, the Bible, that we can start to understand what the priorities and values of heaven are. And so I want to urge you to study the scriptures. Study them by yourself. Study them with another person. Study them with a group. Study them in church. Seek to know the mind of God that you might have the same mind. What if you say, look, I don't want to do that. I don't see the point of doing that. Well, let me ask you then, how do you expect to find the mind of God? For the mind of God is only revealed to us by the scriptures. That's where we know the mind of God. They are the word of God. God's word to our world and to each one of us. They are the word of Christ. They are the word of the Spirit. If you truly have the Spirit of God, the Spirit will draw you to the Scriptures, for they are the sword of the Spirit. And that's why we as a church focus on the Bible. We're not so much about singing and lots of songs. We like to sing good and helpful songs, but we're not focused on singing. We're not focused on having experiences of God. We're not focused on the latest word that comes out from the Archbishop's office. As helpful and godly as the Archbishop is, and we like to hear what he says, but it's not his proclamations to us that shape our lives. It's not ceremony that we are about. We are about hearing the mind of God through his word, that our lives might be transformed. God speaks by his word. And as we gather, it's that word that we want to hear, and we work to hear that word, to understand with our minds and with our spirits, so that we might live lives that glorify him. And so the challenge is, will you take steps? Will you take steps beginning today to set your mind on the things of heaven, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the scriptures, the way you guide us and teach us so clearly by them. So help us, Father, to set our minds on things above, where Christ is. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.